Morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, so the pain you feel at the pump.
Yeah.
Every time. I mean, it's depressing to have to pull up to the gas station.
It's depressing to go buy anything right now.
It is. It's very hard. And Joe Biden, 2 days ago, and I played this a little yesterday, but I don't think I made as big of a deal of it as I should have in hindsight.
In a rare error on your part.
I know. Thank you. I don't make errors often, but when I do, I confess it. So, yeah, so I did. And I should have played this more than I did yesterday, because as soon as I heard it, my jaw dropped. I could do a whole show on this, but I'll spare you that. Joe Biden admitting we're going through an oil transition. Up until now, at least over the last couple of, you know, weeks to months, he's pretty much lied and blamed this on Putin.
Yeah.
All right. So there was no Putin here yesterday. This is remarkable, what he said on so many levels here, because he's admitting this isn't Putin. This is a transition we're going through. He did not read this off the teleprompter. He said it. And what it means is he knows, as demented and addled and generally confused as the man is. I mean, this is a guy who off the cuff cannot remember what our policy toward Taiwan is. Do we go to war to defend them against China in World War III, or do we not? He can't remember. He's been stumped on this question twice. But this guy knows what his administration is doing. That's what we know now. Again, because this was not on the teleprompter. He said it off the cuff. He knows the suffering this is causing. And he is admitting here this is a part of the plan. It's stunning.
Now, does that mean we don't have problems? We do. And when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. This is going to be a haul. This is going to take some time.
Is a recession in the United States.
And he goes on to talk about recession. This is going to be a haul, God willing. So he's basically saying not only is this on purpose, not only did Putin not cause this, this is me, I'm doing this, I'm admitting it. He's also admitting, Lee, this is a haul, it's going to hurt. God willing, we get through it. I mean, think about the language. So this is him not only admitting he knows, but admitting this is going to really hurt.
Okay,
the cruelty here is just...
If what he is talking about is moving America away from fossil fuels, which, you know, obviously is the goal here, the problem that he's got is that there is no plan, nor is there the technical capability to actually do this anytime soon.
No.
And that is what is, to me, the biggest sin here that he is committing, is that he is forcing this country into a technological, economic, and energy crisis to force change. And that cannot happen at this time.
Right.
So what he is going to do is to collapse an energy system and an economic system in order to force emergency actions by the government, which will allow them to take over segments of the economy, take over segments of your personal decisions, your freedoms and liberties, and your constitutional rights, in order to effect that change that he and his cohorts believe is the right way to go. That's what's going on here.
And this, as we see what happens with a grid like Texas's that took advantage of the federal credits to switch over, close down the natural gas and the coal-fired plants, and transition to solar and wind. But solar and wind cannot replace those because we don't have the batteries to do it. So this is just Texas in the last week, okay? Headline, Texas Tesla owners receive, because Tesla's obviously an electric car.
Yeah.
Texas Tesla owners receive charging warning message as heat wave worsens. Here's the automaker's advice. So what Tesla did voluntarily, the state of Texas contacted them and said, listen, the power grid is going to go down if these people keep charging their Teslas. We need them
during peak hours.
During peak hours, yes. We need them to only charge it during certain times of the day.
Right.
And they're saying that's 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's it. You can't charge it any other time.
No, actually, 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. is when they did not want them to charge it.
Did I get that wrong?
Yeah, because that's the peak time period for the grid. So they were asking people to do it either early in the morning or overnight, but not during the 2
to 9
p.m. Oh,
okay, you're right. Yes, it's 3 p.m. to 8. You got that right. I got it. And you know what? That makes sense, because that's when everybody's getting home, right? They're turning on their oven. They're making dinner. Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so you can't do it between 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Because And that's, you know what else that is? A lot of that is it's dark, or it's starting to get dark. When it gets dark, you don't have the solar, so that's gone.
Yeah.
And the wind blows less. So unfortunately, what they're saying is, you want to come home and, you know, charge your Tesla, you're going to have to limit when you do it. Mm-hmm. If the plan is to transition us all to driving Teslas.
Or electric vehicles, not
or electric
just
vehicles. Yeah, it could be whatever. They hate Elon now, so I guess you're supposed to drive something else. They hate him because he wants free speech. You can criticize this crazy idea. I mean, what if we were all driving electric vehicles?
Well, here's the other thing
we can't do it.
Here's the other thing about charging electric vehicles. If you have like the three-phase 240 amp or the high amperage special charger, which will do it quickly and in just, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, that's one thing. The rest of them, if you have a regular household current, the regular 110-volt, low-amp charger, just, you know, regular plug-in, you know, like right straight from the wall, it takes 8 to 10 hours to recharge the batteries, if not longer.
Oh, man. So yeah. You have to start when you get home, right, from work?
Well, if you don't have one of those special chargers. Now, those things cost money. There are, I think, in some states, and maybe the federal government may have some tax credits or subsidies or something or other to do that, and some of the electric companies do as well, have some rebates for you to purchase those. But if the only way to charge this in a short period of time is to have these special high amperage chargers, which will do it quickly in a matter of just, you know, several hours, as opposed to overnight with a regular household current.
Speaking of regular household, ERCOT in Texas, this is the same week the Tesla drivers are getting notices not to charge their vehicles during certain hours. It's the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. It's the big utility there, basically, sent the public a message to keep your thermostat at 78 degrees. Do not go below and avoid using large appliances because the grid will fail. And this is because they had a heat wave last week. Well, I mean, we're only in May. I mean, we haven't hit the peak yet, okay? So what they're saying is, look, and this is what happened. I mean, we went through this at the time when do you remember 200 people died during the cold wave when the grid failed?
Yeah.
Almost all of them from hypothermia in Texas. Okay, this is third world country stuff. And again, when we dug deep into it at the time, there's great reporting on it for the Wall Street Journal. They had shut down the gas fire plants to get the tax credits and other things from the federal government. But the solar and wind they had tried to replace it with weren't plentiful enough to do so. They underperformed, but also they weren't available during peak hours because, again, we do not have the batteries to store it. We don't have the technology. It hasn't been invented yet. So the reason this is going on in Texas, and Texas and California have had the most adoption of this of any other states in the country, this disastrous plan they want to get everybody on, the transition Joe's talking about, right? So this is what the country's going to look like because, again, when you switch to solar and wind, guess what, Lee? We don't have the battery we don't have the battery, so you have to do all your stuff when the sun's out and the wind's blowing. Or good luck. You're not going to work in your Tesla because it's not charged. Maybe you can hop a ride with your neighbor who's got a gas-powered car. He'll ask you for $25
if the electricity at the pumps are working.
Yeah. I mean, what? You know what? Great point. And again,
fuel to pump out of the ground. So.
Yeah, if there's fuel to pump out of the grounds. I mean, so you're seeing in Texas what this is. But, of course, the left won't even admit what's causing this in Texas. They tried the old climate change and all the utility operators screwed. It's always the utility operators' fault. No, it's their fault. It's their green dream. And this is why, and I did yesterday's Battleground podcast on this. I went into depth because, I mean, it's absolutely fascinating what's happening right now. When you have Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal, Fox Business, CNBC, like right to left warning, hey, we're going to rolling blackouts this summer in this country. And those are going to be a feature of American life going forward. There's over 140 more plants, coal and natural gas, that are scheduled to shut down in the next 6 years under this scheme. We cannot fully replace the power they created with, you know, the wind and the solar. By the way, these are in 14 states. One of them is ours. One of them is our state. So they're saying not only is rolling blackouts going to be a feature of American life going forward because of this, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse every year for at least the next 6 years. So that's why he's saying, you know, God willing, we get through this, it's going to be a haul. Yeah, it's going to be calling your boss, on your barely charged phone because you can't get to work because you can't charge your Tesla. That's what that's going to be.
Now, does that mean we don't have problems? We do. And when it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels.
So this is on purpose. All the suffering is on purpose. It's deliberate. God willing, we'll get through this. You know what that says to me? That is wow. He understands this, as demented as he is. God willing, we'll get through this, he says. God willing, we'll get through this. So there's a question in his mind whether we will. I mean, that's how much suffering they are willing to put you through to achieve their green dream. I look at this headline for Fox News. Gas prices set records for 2 weeks straight. So what is this? This is a new daily record every single day. Every single day for two. I had tracked it through day 11 and then I stopped counting. So we're 2 weeks now. Gas prices have hit record highs for 2 weeks straight while President Biden claims the rise in prices is transitory toward a greener economy. How are we going to manufacture things? You realize 70% of what we make in this country, or still make, because that's going to change. This is going to push this all overseas. 70% of what we make as a country, we sell here. So I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, I don't know that we're going to, I don't see how we're going. If people can't charge their Teslas at night in Texas and they have to leave their AC at 78, how can you have a factory in Texas? How can you? And again, the reason for this is a little surprising to people because it's counterlogical. The two economies that have most adopted the Green New Deal ideal of shutting down the perfectly good working natural gas plants and coal plants, energy production facilities, are California and Texas. Believe it or not, Texas did that under Republican leadership. And it was very gradual, and that's how we got here. Would you manufacture in Texas? You would be plumb out of your mind at this point to put a manufacturing facility in Texas. You just tell me you can't do it. Where would you put it, though? Somewhere close by. I know. Mexico. Where they're self-identified, not my opinion, his self-identified light Marxist. That's how he described himself when he ran for office. Light Marxist. This guy's a Marxist, okay? He's light Marxist, which just means Marxist. Manuel Lopez Obrador announced last year that he wasn't going to follow the U.S. anymore with its energy policy, that he was going to reopen his coal-fired plants, and then he would reopen more. So where is this manufacturing? It's going to go to Mexico. That's where it's going. And by that manufacturing, I mean the manufacturing for us, right? So, I mean, you've got the convenience of the location. It's close by, right? Because you're not going to want to put that in, the manufacturing that serves us. You're not going to want to put it super far away. Put it in Mexico. Where else are they opening a record number of coal plants? That'd be China. China, they open a new one just about every day. Record rate of opening a coal plant. But don't worry, they say they're into the Green New Deal. They will start sometime after 2030 when they're done opening a new one a day. And number two in the world, record number of coal-fired plants opened, India. So this idea that, we got to transition. Well, the rest of the world is not. Essentially, what we're doing is closing the plants here and moving them to India and China, where the environmental standards are nowhere near as stringent. And then I guess we'll ship our stuff back in after polluting more. And remember what climates are, John Kerry told us. This is the truth.
Almost 90% of all of the planet's emissions, global emissions, come from outside of U.S. borders. We could go to zero tomorrow, and the problem isn't solved.
Not only is it not solved, it's getting worse. Because if we use these policies, we shut these plants, manufacturers can't depend on them. That manufacturing goes overseas. And again, China does not give a rip if there are haze clouds over the sea. They don't care who it kills. They'll just make more people, India, same thing. A lot of India is very desperately poor. It's not educated. And they do not have the stringent environmental codes that we do. Theirs are better than China, but they're not. Ours are much better. So this is just an exercise in pure destruction for the sake of destruction. It will accomplish absolutely nothing but to punish the people I think that the left hates the most, and that's Americans. So, I mean, nobody's even thinking at this point. I mean, everybody's walking around, including Biden, going, we can't depend anymore. Because look at the supply chains. We can't depend anymore on these foreign countries. We need to bring this stuff back home. Well, how? If you can't charge your Tesla and you have to leave your AC on, 78, how are you going to run a factory? You're not. And that's the point. That's the point. This is why the Canadians went bonkers this week. And we talked about that earlier. The province of Alberta is run by very conservative Canadians that are very like-minded to us. And they sent the leader of one of the provinces, Alberta, down here to say, listen, we have a ton of natural gas. We got a ton of oil. We can sell it to you. You don't need to buy it from Venezuela. You don't need to, play footsie with those dictators. You buy it from us. But the White House won't even consider it. Why is that? Because they have plentiful, affordable energy supplies. That's why. The kind you could run factories on endlessly. It would cost a little more because we'd have to ship it down here. There's a little extra cost, you know, whether we just digging it ourselves, fracking it ourselves. But you could reliably run factories, and that's what they don't want. They do not want production. They don't want it. It's okay if India does it in China. That's fine. And it's okay if there's a funky cloud over the factories and the cities they're in. That's cool, too. Folks, let me tell you this. The biggest lie the left's ever told us is, one, that they believe in climate change, and two, that they care about it. They do not. Every one of these climate policies results in more pollution, not less. They do not care about climate change at all. So Joe Biden, you'll remember, fled the country in anticipation of Title 42 ending. And then a judge stopped it over the weekend. But that fires off. So that happened, he's coming back now, because there was 81,000 people sitting in a camp waiting to charge over the border. So that was bad optics. So they got him. They got him out of the country for that. Because they do not want him answering questions about the voter border drive and the destruction of U.S. sovereignty. They don't want that. And in the midst of this, just to show you the absolute, honestly, disregard for human life, all human life, Democrat human life, Republican human life, just human life in general. This headline that just broke. Remember the 42 terrorists, right? In Mayorkas, the head of Department of Homeland Insecurity, where their job is to insecure and unsecure the homeland and make it a better and brighter place for terrorists to come and to vote Democrat as they will and maybe blow up a few things along the way. Remember those 42 terrorists? And I thought this would be a bigger story. He actually finally admitted to Republicans who have been trying to figure out for months, what did you do with the terrorists? Because they had a terrible suspicion that Mayorkas had dumped them inside the country. Well, now we're getting some answer, some indication. We know some of the 42 were released into the country. But these are people on the international terrorist watch list. These are people on no-fly list. They let them go. We don't know how many, but Fox News got one of them. Headline, boy, if you want to read it for yourself, it just came out about 12 hours ago. Border Patrol released suspected terrorist. I can't even wrap my mind around that. Border Patrol released suspected terrorist who crossed into the U.S. illegally. They released them. Let that sink in. And not only did they let him go, it took ICE weeks to get around to bothering to rearrest them. I'll just read you the story. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, didn't rearrest a suspected terrorist who was released into the United States by Border Patrol agents until 2 weeks after he was flagged by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The suspected terrorist, Isnardo Garcia Amado, 35, was released into the United States by Border Patrol agents on April 18th near Yuma, Arizona. And given a GPS monitoring device, as an alternative to detention. Oh, my God. That's according to a memo from a federal source that was obtained by Fox News. They didn't release it. Now, think about this for a moment, okay? It's been 2 weeks now since Mayorkas, who's the head of the Department of Homeland Insecurity, admitted, yeah, you know, that's how those terrorists go. Yeah, we did. And everybody shrugged their shoulders. So this guy's running around, and it's not even a priority to pick him up. It's not even a priority. U.S. immigrants, and Mayorkas knows, it's not like there's dysfunction in the department he doesn't know. He knows. He told Congress. He told Congress they were out. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement didn't receive authorization to arrest him until May 4th. He was arrested in Pinellas County, Florida on May 6th. This is one of the 42, y'all. One. Where are the rest? Where are the rest? Where are the rest? A Department of Homeland Security spokesperson told Fox News that after receiving an additional information about Garcia Amato, the man was promptly detained. Promptly is 2 weeks. Okay, what does this mean? Our screening procedures at the border are absolutely fundamentally broken. Okay, this guy's one of many who's come over the border. And keep in mind what they have in Afghanistan now. They don't want you to talk about Afghanistan anymore. You know why? The training camps have resumed. We pulled out of the one country on earth we should actually have troops in, and we left troops everywhere else. The places we shouldn't be in, have no business being in, have no national security interest of any kind in. We don't need to secure Europe. They could do that themselves. They're first world nations. I mean, those people, they get done to terror training camp. They do their turn there. They're ready to go blow something up. Where do you think they're coming? Here? Unbelievable. And you know what this is? It means it's they're so overwhelmed at the border that they don't even have time to figure out, is this guy a terrorist? Is he not a terrorist? I don't know. Just let him go. He'll vote Democrat. That's good enough for us. Odds are 65% plus. Tom Homan, former acting ICE director for Barack Obama, said that under his watch, the individual would have been arrested within an hour. He called the actions by the Department of Homeland Security in the case inexcusable. But you know what was happening around that time? He was testifying before Congress, and Congress was hitting him over the head wanting to know where these terrorists were. So yeah, I bet that's the only reason this even happened. That and the FBI said, wow, this is even a step too far for us, and we're trying to destroy the country. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis naturally lost it, telling Fox News that he is demanding an explanation. Why? God, y'all. A suspected terrorist was allowed to live in the United States for a week. I suspect Ron doesn't actually need an explanation. I think he probably understands perfectly why this was. Because it is believed that people who come from the countries that a lot of the people on the border are coming from will vote Democrat because they have no experience in their countries with things like First Amendment, Second Amendment, like that. They don't expect to be free. They're not free where they are. So they don't care about that. They're not going to be free here either. They don't care. They will vote for the biggest handout. They have no sense of freedom whatsoever. It was never part of the way they were raised. It's not part of the fabric. Not like here, where even the most unintelligent, uneducated person in America could tell you all about the First Amendment and will get real mad if you talk about taking it away from them personally. There's at least that base level understanding. There is none of that in these countries. And that's why the Democrats want these people, because they intend to demolish exactly those rights. And Ron DeSantis nailed this.
Biden should be given an honorary membership in the Mexican drug cartels, because nobody has done more to help the cartels than Biden with his open border policies. And so it's a total disaster. It's been a disaster, I fear, with Title 42. If they do repeal it, I think things are fixing to get even worse.